What a beautiful way to lead in to what we're doing this morning. Would you pray with me as we focus on the Lord's Word? Lord God, we ask that you would open your Word to us today. Help us to understand what it is you're trying to say to us. Help us to understand not only your words, but also our part in reflecting you and in becoming like you. We pray that you will reveal yourself to us and that you will change us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, most of us have learned the Lord's Prayer when we were very young. If you have a Catholic or a high church background, you probably know the Lord's Prayer as the Our Father, but it's the same prayer. And you know, when we share it together, I think sometimes what happens is we recite it from memory and it just kind of comes out. We don't really think about it. It just sort of, you know, the words are there, we memorize them, and it just comes out by rote. But you know, when Jesus gave this prayer to his followers, I believe that he really intended for us to think about and to be engaged with what it is we're praying when we pray the Lord's Prayer. He intended us not to just think about it, but to embrace it, to take it in, to live it out. It's filled with commandment, even though it's not worded that way. The prayer reflects a lot of Jesus' teachings, the things that he did throughout his life. You'll notice little pieces in the Lord's Prayer. You'll see later on, or even earlier on, depending on where you're looking in the Gospels, you'll see him talking about those very subjects. And he's talking about his kingdom and his coming kingdom in the prayer. This is a place for us to focus. It's a starting place for prayer. It's a pattern for prayer that keeps us connected to the will of God. You know, I think we often wonder, what is God's will in my life? You know, I hear that question a lot. You know, how do I know what God wants me to do in my life? How do I know his will? And we have a desire to be in the center of his will. Well, here's a place to start. Something we know for sure is God's will. Jesus said, when you pray, you should pray this way. Would you repeat this out loud with me? This is from Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 through 13. Let's recite this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, naturally, we would want to, you know, fill in the rest of the prayer as we know it, which is more of a description of the content of the prayer itself, the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Well, that's the name of our series right now. This is our second week. Last week, we focused on the very first part of the Lord's Prayer. We focused on the Our Father in Heaven part. Now, if you missed that, I encourage you to go back and watch the video for it online or listen to the podcast and get caught up, because I think each piece fits together. It's like a big piece of a puzzle, and it helps us to get our picture of how God would have us pray, but also a picture of God himself. Jesus leads us into this prayer by breaking Jewish traditions. He breaks all protocols. He kind of throws them out the window. He has us address God as our Father, something that just wasn't done before Jesus came along. But it is Jesus' favorite way of addressing God, and you'll see Jesus over and over and over talk to God as Father, Father. And it became the favorite way of the early church to address God. They adopted this fully. And they even went further than that. Jesus prayed, for example, in the Garden of Gethsemane. He substitutes the generic word for Father with this word Abba from the Aramaic, which means a very intimate expression for Father, Daddy. You know, we would say Daddy. This is beyond anything that the Jews of the day would do. This is a very intimate way of talking to God. If you want to turn to the Lord's Prayer in your Bibles, it's in Matthew chapter 6. It's smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And this week, we're looking at this second line. We prayed our Father who's in heaven, in the same verse, the second line is, hallowed be your name. Well, there's a word for you, hallowed. Is that something you use every day? Can you use it in a sentence other than in the Lord's Prayer? Some people might stick it on the Halloween. That is actually part of it. I won't go into that another day. We say, hallowed be your name. Well, let's unpack that. What does it mean to be hallowed? Well, maybe you've heard of a cemetery. Sometimes people will refer to a cemetery as hallowed ground. Or sometimes people will refer to the place where a church is or the sanctuary of a church as hallowed ground or hallowed space. Probably you heard that in a vampire movie. I always find it really interesting that a cemetery was set apart. It was considered holy space, and you had to be a baptized Christian to be buried within the walls of a cemetery. And in all the vampire movies, where does Dracula come from? He comes up out of the cemetery, which is supposed to be hallowed ground. So it doesn't make any sense at all. But in Europe, this was the custom for centuries, that unless you were a Christian who was baptized, you couldn't be buried in the cemetery yard, because that was considered holy ground. Well, generally, when we say hallowed, we mean holy. Someone, something, or some space that's set apart for God's own use, or for something Christian in general. But what does it mean when we say this about God? When we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Well, to start, God reveals himself as holy. This is who God is. The Bible tells us 81 times that God is holy. 25% of those times, 1 in 4, it says God's name is holy. And so Jesus is acknowledging this understanding of who God is, that God is holy. In fact, he was so holy, and the name of God was so holy that in the Hebrew language, when they were reading the Hebrew Bible, whenever they would come to the holy name of God, they would skip it. They would just pause for a moment and then go on, but they would never say the name that was written. In fact, they put a symbol of 4 letters into the scriptures, and you've probably seen these before, YHWH. This was the symbol that was used in the place of God. Now, whenever we try to pronounce this, we usually say Yahweh. Yahweh. We sing that song, Yahweh. It's a beautiful song, and it's talking about the name of God. Sometimes it gets translated a little bit different than that. You might be familiar with this translation, Yehovah. The W is actually pronounced with a V in Hebrew, so Yehovah. This came about when a group of translators saw this four-letter symbol, the Yahweh at the top, the YHWH, and they didn't know how to pronounce it. Of course, they didn't know that it wasn't supposed to be pronounced. And so they took the letters from the word Adonai, which is the name of God, of Lord in the Bible, and they took those vowels and they stuck them in between and came up with this word Jehovah. So, you know, we generally accept that today, and we use that as a translation for that name. Kind of an unusual thing. What counts is that God's name was never intended to be pronounced. It was never intended to be said outside, or allowed, rather. Not only was God a holy God, but his name was also considered so sacred, so holy, that it was never spoken. And that's why it's so radical that Jesus says, call him Father. Pray this way, our Father, or even Abba. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, a beautiful piece we sometimes call Hannah's song. Hannah sings, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Holy means to be set apart. It means to be separate from. And as believers, we're holy because we are set apart. But when we refer to God in this way as holy, we really mean God is separate from. He's in a category that is completely separate from humanity. He's so entirely unique that he's his own category. He's holy. He's God. You remember the encounter with Moses in the burning bush when Moses first encounters God in this way? God talks to him, you know, and first he says, take off those sandals. You are standing on holy ground. Why is that ground holy? Because of the presence of God. Not because that's some special sacred piece of dirt, but because God is present, and that's why it's holy. And he tells Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you, has sent me to you. And God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Well, what an interesting thing that the name that he's to be called is no name at all. I am. God is so entirely different that he doesn't need a name in the same way that we have a name. He simply exists. He's the great I am. We sang that this morning. We sang about the great I am. The fact that he exists is proof enough of who he is. He's the great I am. He's holy. And when we encounter holiness, what do? When we encounter the truth of God's holiness, we worship. We bow down and we worship. That's our response to God's holiness. The word worship means to ascribe worth to the holy God, who is entirely sacred. He's entirely pure. He's entirely perfect. He's so completely different from us that he's in his own category. He's God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Now, here's a quandary. God is this entirely different being. He is entirely holy in every sense of this set apartness, in purity and in all of these ways. And yet, the scripture tells us that we were created in the image of God. Somehow we were created in his image. We were created to reflect God. And because of that, we not only honor him or reverence him, we are also to be like him, to reflect God's character, which is why God calls his followers to be holy. Be holy. God is perfect. We are still in progress and in process. I hate to tell you this, but God ain't done with you yet. God is still working on you and still working on me, maybe especially me. But God says to his people in Leviticus 11:44, he says, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. Peter repeats this in the New Testament when he talks about holiness. He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. How do we hallow the name of God? How do we ascribe this holiness to God? How do we honor the holiness of God? Well, the answer is be holy as I am holy. To hallow the name of God is not just to honor it, but to glorify him by obeying his commands and by allowing his rule in your life. Living your life in holiness. Well, I don't know about you, but I approach that word holiness with fear and trembling, because I feel anything but holy on most days. You know? I just don't feel like it. I feel like a bunch of sin on a popsicle stick some days. You know, I just not there. And yet God says, be holy as I'm holy. How is that possible? None of us are perfect. And none of us are God. My father used to say, God only made so many perfect heads in this world, and on the rest he put hair. But truly, there ain't none of us perfect. So how can we be holy as God is holy? Well, here's some bad news. It's not possible. But here's some good news. With God, all things are possible. It was impossible for us to have an intimate, deep relationship with the Father. Impossible. Totally impossible for a lowly people, an unholy people, to have a relationship with a holy God who was entirely different from us, who's pure and perfect. And so the Father sent the Son. And he showed us by his sinless life and his teaching who the Father really is. And he freed us from death and from our sin on the cross. Jesus put death to death and put sin to death. That sin that separated us from this holy God as an unholy people. And even though we don't deserve the title, even though we fail and we're far less than perfect, God, because of his grace, declares us to be holy who are not holy. When we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, Jesus' sacrifice makes it as if our sin never existed. So we know who we are. We know how we live. We know the mistakes we make. We know what it's like to fall. We know what it's like to fail. But through the blood of Jesus, God says, I don't see that. I see someone who is forgiven. I see someone who is cleansed. I see somebody who's covered by the blood of the Lamb. I see a new creation. We can never make ourselves clean. It just isn't possible. But Jesus can clean our hearts. And he can wash us with the blood of the Lamb and declare that we are clean. And for our part, we're to walk in the way of holiness, a way that God's laid down, a path that he laid down for us. And we do that by obeying his commands and obeying his word and submitting our lives, our spirits, to his Holy Spirit. Does that mean you're perfect? No way. You're still going to be tempted. You're still going to give in to temptation. When you do that, does that mean you've blown it? That you've blown the holy life? That it's entirely out the window when that happens? No way. Holy living is an ongoing process of obedience and submission to God. And the blood of Christ is sufficient to wash you again and again. Some people might claim to defeat sin by redefining sin. We hear that a lot today. Oh, well, that's not really sin, what it says in the Bible. No, that's a lifestyle. That's something different. That's not really sin. What the Bible calls sin, we no longer call sin. But Jesus never redefined sin. Instead, he put sin to death. That's how he dealt with it. And he raised us up a new creation. Are you serious about your Christian walk? Are you seriously hungry to display more of Christ in your life and how you live daily? These really simple words call us back. And so when we pray this prayer and we come to these words, we don't rush over them. We meditate on them, we embrace them, and we learn to live them out. And as you pray that prayer, I hope it draws you back and draws you into that relationship. Hallowed, holy is your name. And how can we encounter the holiness of God without being changed? It doesn't happen if we truly encounter God. You know, every new Christian who encounters God starts out with this great faith, believing that they can conquer anything, that, you know, if my faith, I will always overcome sin, I will never give in to it. I remember one of my professors at college, he had come from a German farming background, and they were raising cattle, and he was milking a cow one day, and the cow kicked him. And he swore a blue streak. And then he was ashamed, and he just broke down weeping, because he said, I'm sanctified, I'm set apart, and I'm holy for God. I'm supposed to be a Christian, and here I am, you know, swearing like this, and it's like I lost my sanctification there for a couple of minutes. And his father was very wise and said to him, Jesus is sufficient. You haven't lost it. You haven't lost your life of following God. You fall down, you get up. And he allows us to do that over and over. The truth of holy living is that it involves constant and continual obedience, partnered with the constant grace of Lord God through Jesus Christ, his Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives in you as a believer. In this life, we're never going to be perfect. But when we fall down, we get up and we go on. As we finish this morning, I want to ask you, as we enter into the prayer time, if you would consider this as a time to commit to following a holy God. Will you obey God the very best that you can and trust God that he'll provide the grace and the strength and the power for you to go forward? Will you make this commitment? It's a simple commitment, but it's not a simple commitment. It's a big commitment. It's about moving beyond the rote prayer. It's moving beyond just simple life. Let's pray together. Father God, holy is your name. You are far above and beyond anything that we can ever be or even imagine. You're a holy God, and we are an unholy people, and we are well aware of that. But you call us to be holy. And we recognize that there's no way for us to do that unless we have Jesus. Lord, you've laid down a path for us to follow. And you provided a light so we can see our way. Lord, I admit that I have often failed, especially when I rely on myself. So today, Lord, I commit to relying on you. Today, I commit to following you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I submit my life to you, who are my Lord and my Savior. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name.